Let's take our Bibles and go to Hebrews, if you would. Hebrews. We have a detour. I want to talk to you tonight on something I've entitled Back on Course. A course is a path in which one travels along from one point to another. And the first thing a person needs in order to walk this course is they need to have a destination. You know, they need to know where they're starting from, and they need to have a destination. And they need to consider where they're going in their life. And in order to do that, sometimes you have to take a look at your life. And how do you view your life? Is it an exciting challenge filled with commitment and joy? Or does it feel like a ditch sometimes that has you trapped and struggling? Life can be difficult. And more so today in the electronic fields and the pleasure fields and the distraction fields than many years in the past, that the adversary just gets a hold of our brain and we become distracted. Hebrews chapter 13. In verse 20, it says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Make you perfect in every good work to do his will." To do his will. "Working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight." Our Father, our God, gives each person specific gifts, abilities, and then he gives them the circumstances necessary to live according to his purpose. Some people drift through life without taking hold of God's plan for them, beginning with salvation. They'll just get so distracted or so centered or so goal-oriented or goal-minded that they don't have time for anything else. They have time for what's important to them. Many times they try to manufacture their own pleasures, not realizing that God's best is where they will find true fulfillment. Okay. And that reminds me, you can't run around from pillar to post looking for fulfillment from God. And I'm specifically talking about churches. Okay? It's okay to read material. It's okay to listen to a teaching here, there, and the other thing. But if you are living off of going here, going there, going somewhere else, you missed it. If your satisfaction and your completeness comes from that, you've missed it. You're complete in God. You're complete in Christ. And until you take the time to learn who you are and to read about what God has made you in Christ, you'll just be going from a high to a high to a high, and then when there's nothing around, you'll be low, and then it'll be high. And you won't have anything solid or substantial inside of you. It's like a sugar rush. It's okay for a moment, but it doesn't provide anything substantial for you to continue to go on. The Word of God is food. The milk of the Word, the meat of the Word. That is what we need to continue to move ahead in life. And unfortunately, there are some saved individuals who walk with our Heavenly Father for a time, but then they get off track. And if you've been a believer for more than a week, you've experienced this. Everybody gets off track. Sometimes you have great days, great weeks, great months even. And then sometimes things just are hazy. Things just aren't clicking. And that happens for a variety of reasons. Sometimes we become faint-hearted and we lose the desire to persevere through challenging circumstances. And understanding struggles, understanding challenging circumstances, and understanding God placing us in those circumstances when they come up to be opportunities for His Word to shine and live and grow in us is a different type of a mindset than just, why are these bad things happening to me? You know, I go back to the record with David and Ziklag. Now, that was a challenging circumstance. And yet, the way David reacted proved God's strength and ability in his life. And everybody else that went along with David was part of that. So, I'm not saying it was God who manufactured the fire of Ziklag. And I'm not saying it was God who had all those people kidnapped. Okay? But that adversity, when David faced it, gave him an opportunity to trust God, to go to God, and to work with God to bring an answer to the problem. And that's what happens in life. But sometimes we don't do that, and we look at the problem. And the more you look at a problem, the bigger it becomes. And the more you think about the problem, the less equipped you will realize you are to deal with the problem. And if you're thinking about the problem in light of your ability, you're going to get discouraged. Some of us are smarter than others. You'll just take a little bit longer to get discouraged, that's all. You might just waste a little bit more time and effort before you get discouraged because you have more resources to draw from. But the end result's still the same. Somebody will be discouraged in an hour, somebody might take a week. But we can't depend on our ability. And we can't be so headstrong as to tell God what His will is for our lives. And we can't be so headstrong as to depend on our ability to think that we can make the will of God come to pass because this is what we think should happen. Learning to listen to God takes a while, takes a lifetime. And even though throughout your lifetime you learn to listen to God, that doesn't mean you do it 100%. The only one that does it 100% is Jesus Christ. But if you stay meek and you stay humble, God will continue to stay faithful. And we heard about faithfulness tonight, several times in manifestation. God not only said He's a faithful God, but God said that He wants us to be faithful. That's what He said in manifestations. And you know, when you begin to work the word faithful in the New Testament, you'll see that it comes from the same root and the same root for the word that's translated believe. And if you look up the word faithful in the Old Testament, I think the first occurrence is with the English translation of the Hebrew word faithful, where it's translated faithful, it's talking about Moses. Says, is not so with my servant Moses, who is faithful in all his house. Okay? Now, in the New Testament, the word faithful sometimes is translated believe. Okay? In the Old Testament, the word faithful, in the Hebrew, where it talks about that first occurrence where it's translated faithful with Moses, that's the first time it's translated faithful with Moses, but the first time it's used in the scriptures, it's translated believing. See? It's translated believing. So in order to be faithful, you have to continue to believe. And you can see that in the first occurrences of the word and where it's translated faithful in the Old Testament. You have to continue to believe. When you stop believing, when you lose heart, when you get discouraged, okay, you will no longer be faithful. That's what the adversary does. He attacks your believing. And in order to be faithful, you need to continue to believe. You need to continue to believe. You ever questioned yourself about sickness? You know? Especially, see, sickness... Detour. Sickness is something that is concrete. Okay? If a man has a withered arm like this, and you pray for that withered arm, you minister for that withered arm, you minister healing to him, okay? And that arm stays like this, okay? In other words, he didn't manifest a miracle, he didn't manifest healing. Now, that's black and white, okay? The guy didn't manifest healing. So what's the answer? Well, God knows the answer. Sometimes we know the answer, but more times we don't know the answer. So this is what the devil uses to attack your believing. And you do this over and over again, and for whatever reasons, you don't manifest the result that you want to see happen. So you know, how do you deal with that? See, because that, what does that do in your mind? Do you continue to stand on the Word of God and say the Word of God is true, and we'll figure it out as we go along, or something God will show us? Or do you say that, yeah, some have said, healing's not for everyone. That's how some have handled it. And some have handled it that way in the past 4 years. People that were brilliant scholars, still are probably brilliant scholars, but their answer now to that situation is that healing is not for everyone. Some have handled it by ignoring that altogether and not ministering to someone because they don't know what's going to happen. So it's easier to ignore it and move on to something that's not concrete, so to speak. But in doing that, do you ever get to be placed in a position where you get to see God work and a miracle take place? No. See? So the devil attacks our believing. He works on our believing. This works on our minds. Now, how are you going to stay faithful? How are you going to stay put on the Word of God when the devil's doing that? You see? And that's one of the tactics he uses to mess us up. He distracts us with worldly ideas. He distracts us with goals. Sometimes we're influenced by people that they have such a sway over us, we lose our focus. And we begin to focus on other things and think about other things. Sometimes it's sports or hobbies. You know, I know a guy that he loves to play sports. I'll be as generic as I can. This way you'll never, ever, ever, the identity of him will ever be known. He loves to play sports. He has damaged and had major operations to his body within the last 10 years, and he's, you know, older than 30, because he loves to play sports. And he will go to places and spend money and invest time because he loves to play sports. And there's nothing wrong with that. And yet, when it comes to God and it comes to his family, his marriage, and his children, he will not consider anything with regards to God. That's what I mean about some people miss the plan of God for their life, period. He's a wonderful guy, okay? But when it comes to God, doesn't know God from, you know, a mouse. Has children. Doesn't think it's his responsibility to raise the children in the Word. And a lot of parents are like that. But, you know, at least a lot of parents, what they do, they'll take their kids to church, right? And say, well, it's the church's responsibility. At least they're getting something. Well, he doesn't even do that. Now, he has the ability to be involved. He has the ability to be enthusiastic. He has the ability to make a decision and a commitment and stay with it. Even through broken ligaments. You got to put pins and screws back in your body to put you back together. And this isn't a person who's a professional player either. This is just for the love of the sport. And yet when it comes to the greatest thing in life, God, and the chance to get to heaven, what greater thing is there in life for an unbeliever that he could miss than salvation? There's nothing. For even if that unbeliever died and he became a believer and he died then, he'd still have eternal life, right? So, and these are just things that the devil uses to get people off course. Some people never had a destination to begin with. But some of us have started walking down towards the Word and towards our destination, and we've gotten off course. Some of us need to align ourselves with God's destination instead of our destination, what we think. Because sometimes what we think we should be doing and what we're called to do isn't necessarily what God's called us to do. And that's a great thing to learn. Especially if you got your mindset that you want to do something and God's not involved in it. You can plow ahead and start to do it, but you're not going to be very successful with it. You'd be better off with God on your side, doing what he says. You'll have more success. Like David. He had great success in that campaign. But if David would have got up and just blew off the handle and just beelined out, you know, what did he do? It says that he encouraged himself in the Lord. And then he went and he got the priest and he said, I want to know, Father, what do I do? And that's what the habits that we need to develop in our life. What do I do? You know, I was talking to someone earlier today, and he was telling me all of these things, and I said, whatever you do, when you get all your information, take some time, sit down, and pray, and ask God what he thinks. And how many times could we avoid a problem if we do that? See, here's another thing. I told Jonathan Carter one time, I have remade myself a dozen or so times. I have to remake myself. Because if I don't remake myself and I'm not pleasing to God, then I'm not going to be able to do what he wants. And one of the things that God has taught me recently that I have to remake is sometimes I'm threatening. And I don't mean to be threatening, but I come from an environment where, you know, I got people that want to steal from me, insurance adjusters specifically. I have insurance companies that refuse to come onto my property. I've had to throw them off the property. and they do ridiculous things. They threaten to sue me. They threaten to get legal stuff and all these things. And you can't deal with people sometimes in a gentle way and have them respect you and get their attention. That's just the truth. I've had where I've had to disarm people in my business and physically come to blows with them, you know, this sort of thing. So this is the type of environment, it's called a hostile environment, that I work in, okay? And a lot of times when I raise my voice, it's not to try to intimidate someone. It's not to frighten people. It's to get their attention. And I don't, and sometimes I carry that from the workplace into the ministry. And it was never my intention to scare people or have people think I'm mean or mad or whatever in the ministry. And just my voice itself is not a squeaky voice. It's not a mouse voice, in other words. I have to constantly think about lowering my tone and being softer, because I don't want to offend God's people by that. If they get offended by the word, that's, you know, God bless, complain to him. But I don't want to be used in that. You understand? So in order to be able to separate, you know, you work all day in this type of an environment. And then you know, and plus all the other things that are added into the mix. Then you come home. Sometimes it's hard to put that hat off. Right? Now, I'm telling you this because I love you, and I want you to understand. I don't ever want you to think I'm mean or I'm whatever. It's just that sometimes I fail to transition. Now, the greatness of this is that when I don't no longer have to deal with that crap, I won't have that transition to deal with either. I'll be able to do ministry full time. There's nothing more that I would want to do than stay in the Word 8, 9 hours, 7 hours, 5 hours, go here, go there, do this, do that. But the truth of the matter is, I can't. I have children, I have college, I have a wife, I have fellowship, I have to work, I have bills. So you do what you can do. I'm not telling you that to make an excuse. I'm simply using that as an illustration in my life to show that if I want to be my best for God, I have to recognize where the devil has a foothold. And even if the devil doesn't have a foothold, I have to recognize where I could be better. See, it doesn't always have to be the devil did it. The devil makes Nick yell. It doesn't have to be that. It could just be that where can you get better? And when you have that type of heart, that I will do whatever I need to do so that you will be glorified, then things can move and God can flow. He can work, but he can work much easier if you step out of the way and let him do things the way he would have things done. See? God offers a believer a full life, but the believer will not thrive apart from God's. He won't. Now, he may survive, and he may bebop from day to day, but a believer will not thrive apart from God. I said to my wife tonight, there's only two things that thrive in this weather. You know what they are? Weeds and crabgrass. Which is a category, right? There was no crabgrass in the front because I weeded it. I walked by there today. I'm telling you, this thing is this big around. And it like went like this when I walked by. I'm going back with a shovel. I don't know where it came from. I was there. You got them at your house?
Oh, it's amazing.
And you think, oh, there's no rain. These things will just die off. they sprout up like the beanstalk. And that's what happens with us sometimes. The bad things that shouldn't sprout in dry times, that's what grows in dry times. The weeds. See? That's why we got to fight to get back to the Word. We have to fight to stay in the Word. We will not flourish. The only thing that flourishes when we're apart from God. And you know what I mean by apart from God. You know what you need to do in your life to be in touch with the Father. You know it. I don't know what it is, but you do. You know it's, I got to pray this much, I got to spend this much time, I got to get, you know, whatever you have to do to be in touch with the Father. But when we're apart from Him, that's what happens. Weeds start to spring up. They start to grow. John 10:10 says, the thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. In Christ, our life is abundant. But we're warned that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Look at John chapter 15. The believer must stay in touch with God, however that is defined in your context. John 15, verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in what?
Me.
In me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do what?
Nothing.
The words without me in the Greek can also be translated severed from me, apart from me. You can do how much?
Nothing.
Nothing. See, we want to be in touch, in fellowship, in Christ. Call it what you want. Because when we're there, when we're in the vine, when we're in Christ, then we can do great things. I want to rephrase that, because that's weak. When we're in Christ, when we're in the vine, when we're in touch, then God can do great things. And we don't stand in the way. We help Him. We move in the direction He wants us to move. And we become instruments that can bless people instead of instruments that upset people. No matter what the cause is, a walk separate from Christ is a dangerous walk. And sooner or later, problems arise. Go to Hebrews chapter 12, please. God knows. We're not fooling anybody. God knows. And if we would just come to that realization and be honest with it, we'd be much more down the road a lot faster. Keep your finger there. Just let me read you something. In Psalm 139, if you want to go there, fine. If not, just listen. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and know me. Think about that. God knows you. You know what that means? That means there's nowhere in your mind and there's nothing that you could hide and there's nothing that you can do that God doesn't know about. That's what that means. Now, you can be manipulative, you can be sneaky, you can be deceptive, you can be diabolical with man and cover and trick man. But the Bible says, Thou hast searched me and know me. God knows you. You are laid bare, but naked before God. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. This is getting honest. This is with the Father. See, coming clean. Thou compass my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with how many of my ways? You're not even reading it. You know it. That's pretty scary. All my ways. That's right. All my ways. Isn't that something? That's who we're dealing with. So why would we go through life trying to hide and joke and bluff and lie and pride our way through when God already knows? When you say hi by name, God says, that's all. Thanks, next. You say hi, next. God already knows. He already knows. For there is not a word, verse 4, in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Can't figure. Just had you'd have to just stand in awe, and just the best thing to do is just keep your mouth shut in the presence of God. Whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into the heavens, you're up there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you're getting a tan down there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall what? What was it, Jonah? He thought, right? It didn't work. God got a fish to get him. So you see, God knows. He knows. And so for us to go through life and lie or avoid it or be in denial, it's foolish. Because we're living our life and we're not living God's life that He intended for us to live. See? And that's what we want. We want to please God. And we want to do what He wants. Because He knows best. His plan for our life. And when we move in that direction and get back on course towards that direction, that's when we will find the greatest fulfillment in life. And a lot of times people just run around looking for an answer that they already have and they're ignoring. And that's getting back on course with God, heading in His direction. Hebrews 12:1 says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Sin weighs us down. Broken fellowship weighs us down. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Okay? Now let me read that to you out of the New Living. Verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge cloud of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily hinders our progress. Let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. Listen to this. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. It's not like I'm going to fight. I'm going to, you know, the New Year's Eve diet. I'm going to diet. At the end of the New Year's Eve week, you're eating cheesecake. It doesn't work. Because you're working and walking in the strength of your own life. The key to verse 1 is verse 2. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from start to finish. He was willing to die such a shameful death on the cross of the joy that he knew would be his evermore. Now he is seated at the place of the highest honor besides God's throne in heaven. As we look to Jesus Christ, as we look to the Word, we become what we look at. And that doesn't mean you don't have to make decisions, and that doesn't mean that you don't have to say yes and no. But what it means is that if you try to do it in and of yourself, you're bound to fail. We sang "He Touched Me" tonight. And as we were singing that song, I thought that's the cure for getting back on track. To have Jesus touch you. To be touched by Jesus. And that would fix things. We have to experience God. We have to experience Jesus. I'm going to close in Psalm 130. You can go there, won't do you much good though, because I'm going to read it to you. Psalm 119, I apologize. I'm going to read it to you out of the Message. Now, the Message is a very loose translation, very loose, and its goal is to try to give the sense of what's being said in the language to the younger generation today. And in Psalm 119, the Message gives a good sense of what the Scripture is trying to say, beginning in verse 1. It translates verse 1 and goes and says, "You're blessed when you stay on course, walking steadily on the road revealed by God. You're blessed when you follow His directions, doing your best to find Him." That's right. You don't go off on your own. You walk straight along the road that He has set. You, God, prescribe the right way to live. Now you expect us to live it. "Oh, that my steps would be steady, keeping to the course you set. Then I'd never have any regrets in comparing my life with your counsel. I thank you for speaking straight from your heart. I learned the pattern of your righteous ways. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. Don't ever walk off and leave me. How can a young person live a clean life? By carefully reading the map of your word. I'm single-minded in pursuit of you. Don't let me miss the road signs that you have posted. I've banked your promises in the vault of my heart, so I won't sin myself bankrupt. Be blessed, God. Train me in the ways of wise living. I'll transfer to my lips all the counsel that comes from your mouth. I delight far more in what you're telling me about living than gathering a pile of riches. I ponder every morsel of wisdom from you. I attentively watch how you've done it. I relish everything you've told me of life. I won't forget a word of it." Isn't that a wonderful word? And it may not be the Hebrew, but you get it, right? Right? So how do we fix it when you're getting off course? You know, you got the compass of the word. Sometimes we just need to slow down. We just need to slow down. Sometimes we're just too busy and we can't fit all of these things in life. So that might take us to slow down, and we need to set priorities. And then we need to consider God's word. consider where we're at in life and if we're happy with our lives and if there's something that we can do to be better. See, I'm not about works. Bible says you're not saved the works, lest any man should boast. I'm not about legalism. That's not it either. I want to start on time because it's being a good steward and that's doing things right. I want to dress properly because I think it, whatever. I want to do certain things, not because I'm working my way, but because as a steward of God and an ambassador, we want to represent God in a certain way. Okay? Because you got the other side of the coin where people are teaching in three-piece suits, leaving the lectern and going to bed with somebody else's wife. So that doesn't fly either. But there are things that we can do and we should do to become better representatives of God to the world. Right? I stopped drinking and excessively when I got in the Word. You know, that's something I should have done. And I should have done because that's not a good witness. Do I have a drink occasionally? Yes. But it's occasionally and it's a blessing. It's not something that's a stumbling block to people. You know, I stopped going and hanging out with certain people. And why? Because I'm trying to work my... No, because they're not headed the same way I am. They're not on the same course I am. And sometimes they were just throwing rocks in the course I was walking in for me to stumble. So I had to make decisions. But that when I make decisions for my life is my business. That doesn't mean that you have to make those decisions. That means that you should consider, and if God brings it to your mind by the Spirit that dwells in you, then don't turn a deaf ear to the Spirit of God. He'll show you what you need to do to be better. Not so that you could earn something, but so that out of love you want to change because of what He's done for us. And we can be our best for Him. And then pray about it. If God shows you something, just pray on it. Meditate on His Word. And then when He gives you His answer, His will for your life, do it. Do it. Listen, in closing, if I got in my mind, God has given me a ministry of a prophet. And I want to be a prophet because I read about those prophets and I like that idea. And God has called me to be a pastor. It's going to be a problem. Not that the two aren't functioning ministries, but the two are a little bit different. So if you got this headstrong thing this way and God's called you over here to do this, and you don't even want to look that way, well then, God's will for your life, for your entire life, will never be realized. Because you got it in your mind, God's called you to do this. Right? Somebody once told me, you know, it was their job to keep me straight. I forget how they worded it. Well, you know, you never see that in the Word of God. It's not your job to keep me straight. That's God's job. Now, you may be instrumental along the way, but that's not your ministry. It's not your job to come here and sit here and look at me and tell me I mispronounced a word or I mispronounced a verse. Can you mispronounce a verse? Yeah, I can. If it can be done, I'll do it. Or I used the wrong verse, or I used the wrong word. That's not, because every time you come, that's your purpose in coming. Right? How are you going to get blessed? How are you going to listen what God's got to tell you? Because you're seeing the little splinter in me, and you got this telephone pole in you. So don't let the devil do that to you. God will deal with me. Is God big enough to deal with me? Sure He is. But He's big enough to deal with you too. The only thing God requires from us is a meek and tender heart. You see? And we want to stay on track And when we get off track, it's not a big deal. Just get up, start walking again. See, we heard that in manifestations too. I was listening. We heard it in prayer. We heard it in manifestations. Just get up and start walking again. Don't let the devil beat you down. Don't let the devil tell you you're no good. Don't let him tell you you can't do it. You tell him that Jesus said you can do it. And then we do our best for God. And as we do our best and we keep our eyes focused on the Lord, then once in a while we'll hit the sweet spot with the Father. And we keep continuing to do that. We'll hit that be in His will more often and more often. And He'll be able to get things done with us instead of us being obstacles to His will to get things done. And my goodness, you don't want to go through life and have God at the bema, have Jesus say to you, you were an obstacle to my Father's will. You missed fellowship more than you should have. You could have done better. I'm okay with that. But you don't want to hear, you've been an obstacle to my Father's will. Nobody would want to hear that, right? No. Not good. No. So let's do our best. Not because of work's sakes, but because of love's sakes. Lord, thanks for your word. And thank you, Father, that we're all human and we do falter. But you are merciful. Your mercy endureth forever. Your love endureth forever. And you continue to be faithful, even when we're not. Because you are the God of faithfulness. So we thank you for continuing to show us and instruct us. In Jesus' precious name, amen.